This is a new year. We enter into a new year, 2022. It's hard to believe. And I'd like to consider things that are new this evening from the Bible, from the Gospel. And first of all, I'd like to look at John chapter 3 and verse 3, which talks about the new birth. John chapter 3 and verse 3. Now this is page 1268. John chapter 3 and verse 3. There was a man who came to Jesus one night. His name was Nicodemus. I'm sure we know the story very well. And in verse 2 he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art come a teacher from God, for none can do these signs that thou doest unless God be with him." Jesus answered, verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except anyone be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And that's what we all need, isn't it? If we haven't already received the new birth, if we haven't already been born again, then that's our greatest human need. And you won't hear that probably at school, and you probably won't hear that in your workplace or any other place, because the world in which we live is largely unbelieving. The Bible teaches us that we are born in sin. We are shaped in iniquity. And so we don't naturally want to come to Christ. And yet we need a new birth. We need to be born again. And that's what Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. And it was recorded in John's Gospel. And some of the greatest sermons in the Bible were just one-to-one encounters, often where Jesus was with one individual like Nicodemus or the woman at the well in chapter 4, and the Lord was able to meet the need of the individual. So God cares about individuals. God cares about each one of us who is here this evening, and all who are listening to this, whether on Zoom or through an audio recording. And we need a new birth. So what else do we need? As we come to the beginning of a new year, 2nd of January today, and some people like to make New Year's resolutions. Some people like to write down things they would like to achieve perhaps during the year, or in some cases perhaps, I don't know whether children make New Year's resolutions these days, and if you make a resolution that you want to be a better person, or if a child made a resolution that they want to be good, I'm sure it won't be very long. It won't even be probably many hours or even many minutes before they've broken the resolution. But that's true for all of us, isn't it? That we could make resolutions and we could quickly forget those resolutions within a few days or a few weeks. In fact, one of the great Christian leaders in the 18th century in America was a man called Jonathan Edwards. And he used to make resolutions that had to do with his spiritual life, the kind of man that he wanted to be. He began to do this when he was quite young, and he was an honourable man. I'm sure he did fulfil his resolutions, and yet he could only have done so with God's help, because he was a born again man. But in order to have the new birth that comes through believing in Jesus, we need a new heart. Now, I'm not talking about heart transplants or anything like that. but I'm talking about our heart in a spiritual sense. If we look in the Old Testament, and you may not be familiar with the book of Ezekiel, but the page number is 1042. We've got a few references to look at this evening, so it will keep us all awake, I think. So 1042, Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26, where, and in fact this comes as part of a prophecy of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel was a prophet, and he was actually speaking the words of God. And so this is what God was saying. Ezekiel 36, verse 26. It says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and you shall do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God." This was a promise concerning Israel, and Israel had been often disobedient to God. Often they'd gone astray. Often they'd gone far, far away from God, and God had to punish them. And God punished the people of Israel by sending them into a far country. And you probably know the story of how the people of Israel were sent into Babylon. And there were different times when they were expelled from the land that God had given them, the land that was flowing with milk and honey, because of their disobedience against God. But God is saying here in verse 24, which is just before the verse that we read from, it says, "I will take you from among the nations and gather you out of all the countries." In verse 25, "I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleanness." See, we are like the people of Israel. We are all born with a sinful nature that we so easily disobey. We so easily, even a very young child, from the time that the child is born, has a heart that is selfish, that wants its own way instead of going God's way. And so we need a new birth, and the new birth involves the new heart. It's very simple, actually. So although I'm speaking of various descriptions of those new things that God is going to give us when we believe on Jesus, the message itself is very simple, that all we have to do is to believe and receive the Lord Jesus into our hearts and lives. And I know there are many here who have trusted the Lord, and perhaps even from a very young age. And if you haven't asked the Lord to be your Saviour, then you can do so tonight. You can do so now, because it says in the New Testament that we should not delay, that it says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. We should never leave it for another day, because it may one day be too late. The Bible speaks about hell. It speaks about everlasting punishment for those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the message is very serious, and yet so many people do not believe this or do not want to know. But this is why we're here this evening, so that you can know that your sins are forgiven. You can know that you have everlasting life by trusting in the Lord Jesus. So we have the new birth, and we have the new heart that comes when we believe and when we trust in the Lord Jesus. And having this new heart means that it doesn't mean that we will no longer do anything wrong in this life, because we still have this sinful nature with us until the day we die, but rather the new heart is given to us by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cleanses our hearts and makes us anew and prepares us for heaven. God adopts us into his family and makes us the children, the sons and the daughters of the living God. And so another way to describe this, in the new year, it's a good time to think about these gospel truths, which are new, is the new creation. So if we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's page 1394. Page 1394. So it's nearer towards the end of your Bible. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And the Apostle Paul here speaks about the new creation. Because Paul was an ambassador. He was sent by God to take the message all over the world, the known world at that time. And he said in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, "So if anyone be in Christ, there is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." What this means, and if we had time we could go into the whole passage. In fact, this chapter would be a sermon in itself. It talks about the new creation that we have in Christ, and that the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when we are reconciled to God, we are reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, Paul says in verse 18. And Paul says that God has given to us the ministry of that reconciliation. What does reconciliation mean? Big word. It means when two of anything are brought together, are reconciled. It could be, we use this term in accounts, don't we, in finances, where you have to reconcile the accounts at the end of the year, which means that the balance in the account has to be reconciled with what's come in and what's gone out. And if it doesn't reconcile, it means there's something wrong with the accounting. And so the accountant has to do some going over the accounts. They have to do some searching to find out what is wrong. Well, there's something wrong in our relationship with God, naturally speaking. The Bible says we are enemies of God. And through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can be reconciled. We can be made right with God. That's what the new creation is all about. And then the next of the new things which the Bible describes, and this is just a list of those things which come to mind, those scriptures that come quickly to mind when we think of the newness that there is in Christ, and that's a new life. So Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, this is page 1355. So Romans chapter 6 verse 4. And it says, so it's page 1355. Romans 6 verse 4. "We have been buried therefore with him by baptism unto death, in order that even as Christ has been raised up from among the dead by the glory of the Father, so we also should walk in newness of life." This isn't talking here about water baptism. It's talking about water baptism, in fact, is a picture of what God has done for us in Christ when we become a believer, that we are buried with Christ, because Christ died, he was buried, he rose again from the dead. And when we have become a Christian, when we have trusted in the Lord Jesus as our own Saviour, we receive that newness of life. The old has passed away. We have been buried. Our sin has been buried. And so this picture is used to show what happens to the person who is born again. What happens to the person who receives a new heart? The old is passed away. We have a new life in Christ. And then in Isaiah 43, we read about a new thing. This is page 882. We go back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 43 and verses 18 to 19. And Isaiah was another prophet of the Old Testament, one of the major prophets, and he had many prophecies in here. And often his prophecies were focused on the gospel, the good news of the Messiah who was to come. And so in Isaiah 43 verse 18, page 882, it says, "Remember not the former things, neither consider the ancient things. Behold, I do a new thing, now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness, rivers in the waste." And this, in fact, is talking about what God is going to do for the people of Israel in the future. And yet it's also a picture of the Christian life, because the people of Israel had forsaken God over many years. They went away from God. But the day is yet going to come, and this day is yet future, when God promised he would bring his people, Israel, back to the land of Israel. And God has been doing that ever since they became a nation again in 1948. And God has much greater promises for Israel in the future. He says he will gather his people. When Jesus returns, he's going to do a new thing. And when we become a Christian, God does a new thing in our lives, in our hearts. We no longer want to do those wrong things. We no longer have the desire to live selfishly. We no longer live in the sin in which we were once immersed. And that's what repentance means. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn away from the old way of life. We turn away from a life of sinful pleasure. And there are many passages in the New Testament that describe the kind of lives that we typically lived before we came to Christ, before we became a Christian. But God, giving his Spirit to dwell in our hearts, he gives us the desire to please Christ. Christian life is not about rules and regulations. It's about a relationship with Christ, the Saviour, who died for us on the cross, who shed his blood for us, who bore our sin, the punishment that we deserved, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have everlasting life. There's something else that is new, and this, in some ways, we could have mentioned this first of all, because it's the reason that that Jesus came. And it's a new covenant. And there's a couple of verses I'd just like to quickly look at. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, that's page 1456. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15. Page 1456. And it says, "And for this reason, he is mediator of a new covenant, so that death having taken place for redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, the called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." And then we come to one other verse you might like to be turning to. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, and that's page 1391. But first of all, just to say, a covenant is a promise. And in the Old Testament, God made a covenant. He made a covenant with Abraham, a covenant that the people of Israel, under the law of Moses, had to follow. And this covenant, the old covenant, included the Ten Commandments. It was, the old covenant was about the law. And yet, people were unable to keep the law. The people of Israel, again and again, they disobeyed because the law said, do this or do not do this. And human nature being what it is, because of our natural rebellion, because of our natural indwelt sin, we so easily disobey when laws are given. I'm sure children who are here will understand when they're at school, and in school you have certain rules that you have to follow. And if there wasn't any rule, perhaps you might do what was expected anyway, or you might not. But when the rule is there, there are some children who want to break the rule. And that's how it is for all of us, really, because of our sinful human nature. And so the old covenant, which we find in the Old Testament, because that's what testament means. It means covenant or promise. It was a covenant in Bible times. It was a particular type of promise that could never be broken. And that's the kind of promise that God made. But the new covenant is made in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus died on the cross. The new covenant was that all we have to do is to believe on Jesus Christ and we would be saved. So it says here, it's just to read again the Hebrews reference, for this reason he is mediator of a new covenant, so that death having taken place for redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, the called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. And of course, there's a lot more in there that explains more about the covenant. But basically, it says in verse 20, this is the blood of the covenant which God has enjoined to you. So, whereas under the old covenant, they had to kill the animals and the animals' blood was shed. And this was intended as a covering for sin. And yet it could never take away sin. But when Jesus died on the cross, he died once and for all for sin forever, so that by his blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was poured out on the cross, we could be forgiven. And that's wonderful, isn't it? And that shows us how much God loved us. In fact, we can't quantify that kind of a love. It's an infinite love, isn't it? It's beyond anything that we can comprehend. But that's how much Jesus loved us. So just to go briefly to the other reference, which was 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, page 1391. Also on covenant, it says, Paul is saying, God has also made us competent as ministers of the new covenant, not of letter, but of spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit quickens. So what he's saying is that God had called him and the other apostles to be the ministers or those who serve to bring the message of the new covenant. And he's not talking about the letter. He's not talking about something that is merely in writing. He's talking about the Spirit, because we have to be made alive by the Holy Spirit. And this is why Jesus died, so that we could be made alive. Then we have a new commandment. And just read from John's Gospel, chapter 13. This is page 1289. John's Gospel, chapter 13. And this is verses 34 to 35. Where it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that ye are disciples of mine, if you have love amongst yourselves." So, when we become a Christian, when we trust in the Lord Jesus, God has not given us lots of onerous commandments that we have to obey. To become a Christian, to become a follower of the Lord Jesus, to be born again, to have the new heart we were talking about, to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, to have the new life that God promises us, these are all the things we've been thinking of this evening. God has not given us onerous commandments. In fact, Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And yoke, when Jesus was talking about a yoke, he was talking about the yoke that would keep the animals together. And I think I've given the illustration before. I discovered this when I was in India in the early 1980s and noticed how they have these oxen carts, and the two oxen are walking side by side, and they don't get out of kilter with each other because they're yoked together with a wooden beam that goes across their necks, and they're pulling a cart, and the way it's designed is to keep the animals in unison walking together. And that's how it is in our relationship with the Lord Jesus, that we walk in step with him. We are walking alongside him. He's walking alongside us. And therefore, he could say, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Because he's, when we become a Christian, he's taken away the burden of the punishment we deserve for our sins. He's taken away the guilt. He deals with the guilt through the blood shed on the cross. And he gives us his Holy Spirit that enables us to live a life that is pleasing to Christ. And so there's just one commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples, and he called it a new commandment, that you love one another. And that is something that comes naturally or supernaturally to the believer, that we care for one another. We are concerned for the interests of one another. And then finally, as we come towards a close, there's the new heavens and the new earth. And this is in Revelation. It's right at the end of the Bible, chapter 21, not quite the last chapter. And it's page 1508. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 to 3. And the Apostle John says here, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea exists no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of the heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the heaven, saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, their God.'" So there's a new heaven and a new earth which is promised. We're not there yet. We have to wait by faith. We live by faith. And for everyone who believes in Jesus, for everyone who has their sins forgiven, cleansing through the blood of Jesus, we have this wonderful hope of the new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And that's where every born-again believer is going to live with God forever and ever. But for those who don't know the Lord, for those who die in their guilt and their sin without trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, without believing in him. The Bible talks about an awful place called hell, everlasting punishment for the unbeliever. And so it's important, it's essential, it's vital that we trust in the Lord Jesus as our own Saviour, and that we seek to lead others to Christ as well, so that they too can have the joy of sin forgiven and everlasting life. Amen.
Amen.